Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hold it, now I'll watch the hood wink as I make you stop think. You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the shallot Swiss. I like the sushi because it's never touched a frying pan. Hot like
wasabi. So that's the 1828 goes back to when the Naval Live Oaks was dedicated. Is that part of that date when we grabbed that date?
That's right. So 1827 is when the first official survey in the city began. And the survey began in 27. It was completed in 29, but pivotal things happened in 28. And those pivotal things actually occurred because the mayor of the prior mayor of Pensacola moved to Gulf Breeze, and he was the first forester in our area. So, you know, at the direction of two presidents, he is the one who, Mr. Breckinridge, who is the one who started the first survey. So that's where that date goes back to.
All right, this is last night's city council meeting in Gulf Breeze, where that's mostly Sam Abel is the one who's doing the talking there. And John, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Let's start with a quiz. You ready?
No. It's early, man.
You've been back on the air for a full 3 minutes. Probably not even, you know, probably a minute and a half. But okay. What year was the city of Gulf Breeze founded? And I'll give you a hint. On the website, on the Facebook page, it has a picture of the marquee sign in front of the city hall, and then it has a city of Gulf Breeze, and then it says established in 1961. So what year was the city of Gulf Breeze founded?
1961?
Nope, that's not correct.
Oh, come on. I was like, he's giving me the answer.
You had to know that was a setup. Come on.
I know.
Come on, you absolutely had to know that. 1828.
I was off a few years.
And yet, what's interesting, as that had come up in that meeting, is there's some sort of, like, we're not quite sure when to call it exactly. So what Sam was saying was, in 1827, the first survey began. It kind of finished in 1829. 1828 had a bunch of events. There was some discussion about how, well, nobody says that. I mean, some people say the late 1800s, and some people say the late 1700s, and there's this one plat map, and it depends on whether the plat map has all of the plat map shown or whether it has just a portion of it shown, because apparently somebody came and gave a presentation that was missing a piece of it. So I don't know. Anyway, I don't know all the details because I wasn't at the meeting. But I will ask Sam when she's on later today, because it's really interesting. And it's, of course, important to understand our history. And basically what she says is, look, 1961 is when we were incorporated, but that's not really the date that our city goes back to.
It goes back to the dedication of Shoreline Park. So with the dedication of Shoreline Park, I personally wanted to know, what is the history of this park? Right. Is it tied to Naval Live Oaks? It's right. So particular in the fact that even City Hall is inside the park. So I started calling organizations that you would absolutely expect to have that answer, and they didn't. Yeah. And so it is your city clerk who found this survey in the National Archive, and it's signed by Andrew Jackson. And so it's two presidents who fought over Gulf Breeze. And so rivals, bitter rivals. It is a great bit of history. But
now we got a presidential squabble going on. We got clerks going and scrubbing the net, or scouring, excuse me, not scrubbing. Scrubbing is to remove. That's what happened to the parts of the Epstein file. Excuse me. I mean, you know, you can release 3 or 10 or 43 million pages, but if you still redact stuff, it's... Anyway, and not the parts that are like, you know, I hate to say it, but I mean, there's apparently the Justice Department released, I don't know, I think it was 40. I didn't personally see or count them, thank God. But files that included, you know, nude pictures of minors.
Whoa.
Apparently.
Redacted?
No. Not redacted. Like, in, you know, when you release a few million files, you some stuff will slip through. Well, and apparently it did. And so they've gone and apparently deleted those same files, thank goodness, since then. But I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm talking about her looking through the National Archives and, you know, finding documents and trying to figure out when did Gulf Breeze, how did we get from Gulf Breeze to redacted picture? I don't know, but, you know, it's my brain. So anyway, back to Gulf Breeze and the establishment of Gulf Breeze and Shoreline Park, which is very important, but also Woodland Park, which is, you know, I again, I don't know any of this history, and I think it's fascinating.
So here's another little bit of history. Woodland Park. Woodland Park was reserved by the Department of War at the same time that Shoreline Park was. And it was Woodland Park was turned back over to the county and subsequently the city at the same time. Woodland Park is every bit as important as Shoreline Park.
To understanding the history and the timeline. Now, I am guessing, I'm reading between the lines of what Sam said last night, but because Naval Live Oaks was for shipbuilding, I'm guessing Shoreline Park and Woodland Park were also for trees, for timber, for shipbuilding. That's why those were originally set aside or reserved back in the beginning.
On our city Facebook page, at the top of the Facebook page, it says established 1961. We weren't established in 1961. That's when we were incorporated, but we were established hundreds of years prior. So it's bringing all of those things into conformity.
I'm literally looking at the Facebook page right now. It says established 1961, which she says is not correct. But that's because established is different than incorporated. And they're going through a whole rebrand, not the same level of rebrand that the city of Pensacola has gone through recently, as the... as variously described as people as the Blue Angels breakout logo or the fountain logo or the zebra's rear end logo.
John, zebra's rear end.
Were you here for this when the logo came out? I don't remember when I was on vacation when I wasn't.
But, I was barely, I think I saw like one before I left.
I've said this on the air, I like the logo and I understand that, you know, good graphic design doesn't come free. So the idea of paying $25,000 for this doesn't really faze me all that much. I kind of wish that DC just hadn't done it in this sense. I was praising him, and I think I had praised him for being the first strong mayor to not rebrand the city or re-logo the city or anything else. And then here we are. I got to stop saying that because now he's the third one in a row and, you know, grabbing a slogan that maybe another city has already grabbed. Jacksonville. It's not great. But no, if you look at the little, have you even seen it? The little
flower? I saw like a little fountain-looking thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pull it up.
All right. Hang on.
Pull it. I want you to experience this in real time. Yeah. City of Pensacola, new logo. We're waiting on John to type. He's slow typing.
I know. Sorry.
One thing. Do you type with one finger? What is that?
Yeah. Don't make fun of me. Stop. We're going to have to go outside.
Welcome back, John.
It's
good to have you.
Bro.
Aren't you excited
to
be back? Do you have it in front of you looking at it?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want you to picture that instead of blue and blue and blue and white, mm-hmm. it's black and white.
What?
Zebra's butt.
Oh.
You see? You can't unsee.
No, you can't unsee this. No. Why, Andrew? Why?
It's not my fault. I didn't come up with it. Anyway,
Andrew, I can't unsee it.
Yeah, so anyway, what to do about that? I don't really know. Where was I? Gulf Breeze. Oh, yeah. So, and I should also warn you that if you look on social media, there's a lot of other people that have shared a side by side. And this. It's not favorable for the emblem. 519 on News Radio 92. Where was I? I was going to actually tell you something interesting. I don't remember what it was. Oh, apparently all the Minneapolis ICE agents are now going to get, or DHS folks are going to all get body cameras. I mean, but it should have been before. And then apparently everybody, like all the agents are going to get, which is good. I mean, it's always bad when a bad thing has to produce an improvement in technology that makes people more accountable on both sides. I've always said, and our law enforcement folks have always said, that at least half the value of the body camera is not to prove the crime or the, you know, resisting or whatever, or to, you know, train. At least half, probably more than that. You know, I think Trump said yesterday like 80%, and I don't think he's wrong about this, that, you know, more than half of the value of the body camera is to disprove the false claims that get made about police. Now, with the particular incident with Alex Pretty, you know, the claims by the non-ICE folks were true and the claims by the administration were false. But that's because we have the video, like six different versions of it, so we can see. I mentioned this the other day, but it's an important point to keep in mind that, you know, in the day and age when we have video of everything, that's good. Generally, that's a very, very good thing. That means that you actually see what happened. You don't have the fighting over what actually happened. You don't typically have the false reports. You can show bad was done or bad was not done. I think I said it, but I'll say it again just because it bears repeating that, you know, if we had had body camera on Officer Wilson, Ferguson wouldn't have burned because the body camera would have shown that Michael Brown was completely in the wrong. Completely in the wrong. Hands up, don't shoot was a lie. That was false. The Obama Department of Justice demonstrated, proved, wrote a whole report saying that that was all false. And yet we have a city burned and false narratives out there. Still people to this day that don't hands up, don't shoot. That's false. That never happened. Anyway, the point is video is helpful. Even if the video shows a bad thing, at least it showed the actual bad thing that happened instead of speculation about what happened. All right, 521 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, the NFL has announced that they're going to play their first regular season game in France.
Did you see this? Oui, oui. Yeah, no, I didn't see it.
And it's going to be the Saints.
Oh, I
get
it.
So they're going to bring some, you know, Cajun Louisiana flavor, New Orleans Saints. Oh. I mean, you can kind of see a little, you know, connection. I don't know if they'll be obligated to speak in French. It's not clear whether the opportunity to surrender first will be available to the teams who... Sorry, it's a...
Yes.
Early in the morning anti-French joke.
Oui, oui.
Okay. Well, you know, the old... I mean, the only other joke about, you know, gosh, historic war and, you know, the killing of a lot of people is the, you know, would you like to buy some Italian guns? They've been used twice, never fired. You know, that kind of thing. Like...
Oh.
Anyway. 522 on News Radio 92.3. Did I just... make internet. I mean, these are old jokes. I'm not making up anything new. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, she knows the only thing more important than having the right safety gear is having it there when you need it. That's why she partners with Grainger for auto reordering, so her team members can count on her to have cut-resistant gloves on hand, and each shift can run safely and efficiently. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in Thursday at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return.
But I haven't.
One in four tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
One in four was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Beads are fun.
Laissez les bons temps rouler.
Moon pies too. Traffic, not so much. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
You just said he could eat anything.
You ever eat 50 eggs?
Nobody ever eat 50 eggs.
That is a 2 a.m. conversation in the dorm in your second year of university. Arguing about how many eggs a person can eat, right? That's the kind of thing, don't you think? I mean, that argument that took place in Cool Hand Luke, obviously,
right.
But, you know.
And you had that exact same argument?
No, but it's the kind of argument you know, two kids in the dorms would have with each other at 2 or 3 a.m. after they've had a few adult beverages.
Eggs.
They're probably not adults yet legally, but that's what happens. You know, they're brewing up some microwave popcorn and burning it in the secret microwave.
I have no idea
had.
What you're talking about, Andrew. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Did you have an illegal microwave in your dorm room?
Oh, of course I did.
Heck yeah.
I was a rule breaker,
I always
bro.
Thought that the people who didn't have them, there's something wrong
they're
with
like
them.
They're like weird, yeah.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Camera. For example, you
have... We'll come back to David in a second. He's got... I don't know what he's working on, but sounds interesting. What are you working on, man?
Oh, I was putting in some news for Cat Country.
Oh, all right. Did I mess you up?
It's okay.
I'm sorry. All right. Tell me about my headlines.
Well, absolutely, sir. Your headlines are right here. I'm not stalling for time whatsoever. Federal immigration agents in Minneapolis are going to start wearing body cameras. You were just mentioning that. That announced by Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem yesterday. President Trump is welcoming the Colombian president to the White House today. The president says he'll be discussing the flow of drugs coming from the region with Colombia's president Gustavo Petro at the White House. He noted that Petro has been critical of him in the past, but said he changed his tune after the U.S. operation that arrested Nicolas Maduro recently.
I was glad that you clarified that it was the country, not the university, from which the flow of drugs was concerningly, and that the president was coming. So, okay, thank you for clarifying. Go ahead.
Kid Rock apparently is headlining the Turning Point USA Alternative Super Bowl Halftime Show. The organization founded by Charlie Kirk first announced that show after the selection of Bad Bunny as their Super Bowl performer. So I suppose it gives you an option.
One service in English, one service in not English. I suppose you could say it's going to be ba wit da 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 dang a dang diddy good, don't you think?
Ring a ding ding dong.
I wanted you to complete it.
Okay, I did what I did. I did what I wanted to do.
You did, didn't you,
David? Thanks so much for the update.
Pretty good, I thought.
All right, it's 5:27 here on News Radio Net. What's he talking about? No better music. All right, let's see. No, I'm not going to do no. No. Oh, this is. That's an interesting note. Kind of a fascinating story. It's kind of been running around for a couple of weeks now, but the Heritage Foundation, which, you know, if you do not know, is a sort of long-existing stalwart of the conservative movement. It's not the only, you know, and I don't even know that it's necessarily the best, but it is the most sort of well-known. It's the home, you know, you... Oh, that person's affiliated with the Heritage Foundation. In some circles, high praise. In some circles, blasphemy. You know, like, so that's, they tried to tag, Adam Kissel and, you know, Scott Jenner and other folks would be, and I mean, you know, actually, Zach Smith does publish at the Daily Signal, which is under their auspices. So just, if you're not familiar, now you know a little bit, but the Project 2025, all that stuff is kind of Heritage Foundation related. Okay. So the Heritage Foundation it's a think tank officially, but you know, anyway, what they've put out is now a series of kind of ideas to help America be better, you know, restore its former glory. I don't know, make it great again. And one of the ideas is, and one of the key goals, you might say, is to restore the strength of the American family, which I think we could all recognize that could do a little restoring, but focusing on domestic issues and helping the country be stronger through helping the family be stronger. And one of the ideas within that goal set is what they're kind of calling a marriage boot camp concept. So that people who are, you know, not married but intending to be can learn how to be better at the marriage endeavor, how to be better at the project. And some folks are freaking out and losing their minds. Oh my God, government is going to help people have better marriages. What next? And to which I think, yeah, I mean, what next? We're going to teach parenting skills? Like, okay, this sounds great to me. I don't necessarily think that the government is always the best answer for everything, but it would probably be helpful to a lot of people if they had, I don't know, some basic instruction in how to do this life-altering massive event that most people just kind of assume they know how to do because they're real hot for each other. And that's, you know, in Christian circles, in churches, you usually will not get married by a pastor unless the pastor does some premarital counseling with you. That's a very common thing. Why? Well, because couples that get at least a little bit of instruction on how to do this thing that they later discover is a lot harder than they thought it was going to be is probably a helpful thing. So I actually think this is a great idea. I mean, anything that's going to help the marriages succeed, help them be better at understanding each other, better at managing finances, maybe be better at parenting. at this point, even a little bit would help. And also, it fits very much within the conservative view. I don't think, like, I think liberals are, like, the society is the defining element of good. The libertarian thinks of the individual. And I think conservatism is ultimately about the family. And so if this makes the opportunity to strengthen the family, give it a try. We can't do worse, can we?
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. It's day four of the partial government shutdown. Fox's Madeline Rivera.
The House made progress overnight with a key committee advancing the government package. That sets up a procedural rule vote this morning. This will determine how the chamber will handle the bill on the floor. If the House adopts the rule, it can vote on the bill. If it fails, then there's a problem.
Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick earlier on Fox and Friends First.
What we're hearing is that today the shutdown will end. It looks like the votes are there for the final package.
But Speaker Johnson can only afford to lose one vote. Colombia's President Gustavo Petro has been critical. President Trump arrives at the White House today, the president points out.
Somehow after the Venezuelan raid, he became very nice. He changed his attitude very much.
And former Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro sits in a Brooklyn, New York detention center. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is a nice start to our morning right now. We've got 39 degrees. Partly cloudy skies. Our forecast with Brooke Richardson is up in just a few minutes. Well, dive teams removed what turned out to be an inert training munition from the water near Mahogany Mills boat ramp yesterday. The Escambia Sheriff's Office dive team responded to a report of a possible torpedo by the pier. Now, that area was secured, and explosive ordnance disposal teams from BFSEI and Hurlburt Field responded. After an evaluation, Hurlburt Field airmen determined the object they found was not an explosive device. The sheriff's office is reminding the public not to touch suspicious or unfamiliar objects and to contact law enforcement immediately. Escambia County Commissioners will be discussing customary use of beaches on Perdido Key this week. Last year, Governor DeSantis repealed a 2018 law that allowed beachfront property owners to close off portions of a beach. The new law puts the power of regulating beach access in the hands of local governments. Commissioners will be discussing what portions of private property along Perdido Key should be designated for customary use. People on both sides of this issue are not willing to compromise. Well, Congressman Jimmy Patronis says the federal government should be able to cut off funding to states when fraud is discovered. The former Florida CFO, current congressman, pointed to billions lost in Minnesota as one example.
My attitude is, wait, stop sending, when you've got a flare like that, the federal government should have the ability to stop sending money and enforce those members of Congress there. But it's such a great program. Let them go file a direct appropriation saying, you know what, this is our program, this is our encounter data, this is the good we did with it. Can we please have this money?
Patronis says that members of Congress should then vote up or down on restoring funding based on documented results. He is calling for more accountability and how federal dollars are spent at the state level. Now, Florida's Attorney General James Uthmeyer highlighting what he's calling some major progress going after sexual predators, including those that target kids. Speaking in Tampa yesterday, Uthmeyer pointed to a joint case with Homeland Security that led to the conviction of 50-year-old Marquette James on human trafficking charges. And Uthmeyer says prosecutors are bringing additional charges in a high-profile abuse case involving a former youth coach, some of which could carry the harshest penalties allowed by law as well. It is 534 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be seeing temperatures today getting into the mid to upper 60s for this afternoon. Partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Wednesday, 70% chance of showers, especially in the morning and early afternoon. Clearing out as you go into the rest of the day, high near 62. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 32 degrees. As you head into Thursday, sunny skies, high near 51. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 35. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
39 degrees right now, your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Elon Musk is combining rocket maker SpaceX with his artificial intelligence startup xAI as the merged entity gears up for a massive IPO. Bloomberg reports that the combined company is expected to price shares in an IPO that would value it at $1.25 trillion. Tesla said last week that it is also investing about $2 billion into xAI. Alphabet's self-driving car unit Waymo said it raised a $16 billion funding round that values the company at $126 billion post-money. The company said the new infusion of cash includes several new investors. Oracle revealed plans to raise up to $50 billion in debt and equity to finance its massive data center commitments. Analysts say the company's five-year credit default swaps fell 17% as the likelihood of a credit downgrade has been reduced. The cost to insure Oracle's debt is trading at its lowest level since mid-December. Futures are currently mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 515. That's Your Money Now.
Did you know? Economic development is not about slogans. It is about outcomes. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to recruit and support businesses that generate high-wage jobs, significant capital investment, and long-term tax base growth. That means stronger public services and a more competitive Escambia County without raising taxes. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station,
one day,
everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
I do feel a little offended, PJ, it's not your fault, but that the music John has picked for Representative Patronus is Zach Brown Band and Something Country, which always makes me groove when I hear it, in spite of myself and my views about country music. So whatever, we'll just, you know, move on, live life, and so forth.
You don't like country music?
No. Generally. I mean, some of it is fine, but generally, no.
What is your problem? Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I like to think that, my problem is I have taste, but, you know.
That you have totally changed my whole opinion of you.
But what about me makes you think I would like country music? I'm a Gen X kid. I grew up with, you know, the new wave and hard rock and punk and, you know, everything but country.
For a guy that makes a living behind the microphone and going into people's homes and cars via speakers, you would think you would have like an appreciation for all types. Wow.
Yeah.
That
was
like.
It's the one. That one and the other one is jazz. I can't stomach jazz. I can do all kinds of classical, opera even. Can't do jazz. Even worse than I can't do country. But there's some country songs that I like. It's okay.
Okay.
So we can we? I mean, have we reached the rupture in our relationship? Is this it?
We have some repairing to do.
Congressman Patronus is with us now on the phone. Okay, so we are in the shutdown light right now. I mean, access to the base for civilians is restricted, and you know, there's other things that are unfunded. But what things are actually affected, and what's our chance of getting out of this anytime soon?
So this is what we're calling an 80% partial shutdown. So anything that's going to live over in HHS is going to be unfunded right now.
You mean DHS?
TSA, I'm sorry?
You said HHS. You meant DHS.
Yes, I meant. That's what I meant. I meant Homeland Security. Yeah. So TSA, Border Protection, FEMA, Coast Guard, U.S. Customs Immigration, Cybersecurity Infrastructure Agency, United States Secret Service. So these are the items that right now that that they're not, they don't have operating capital.
And so, but they're still, I mean, the Coast Guard is still operating. The airlines are still flying. Like, everything is still operating. They just aren't funded at the moment, right?
Correct. Correct.
So we're going to, rules, I think, is having a vote today. And as long as no Republicans defect, that'll move to the floor. And then you guys can vote on it tomorrow because you're heading up there today, right? Fingers crossed.
Correct. So, there's a chance we do it today. I think it just depends on, you know, the ability for members, everybody to get there. I'm traveling today. It went from 3,000 cancellation flights on Friday or Saturday. Yesterday, there was, I think, about 1,100, you know, anticipating, you know, normal operations today. But, of course, the flights that I'm looking at, they are delayed. So, yeah.
Yeah, I see just a small handful of delays here locally for a couple of hours going to, you know, Charlotte and Atlanta, and Washington is delayed a little bit. But hopefully you get through. Is there any way to make sure that maybe, I don't know, some of the Democrats don't catch their flights? joke.
Yeah, I mean, well, Mother Nature doesn't pick and choose. So, yeah, it'll affect across the board. But, you know, the we have one less seat of a majority over the Democrats as of later this morning, because another Democratic member of Congress has been elected out of Texas because of a vacant seat that we had. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's going to be a challenge here throughout the rest of the year.
You have a one-person majority, and then you have folks like, what, Thomas Massie, who's, you know, pretty consistently on the fence at best. Anybody else, Republicans, who are kind of squishy or at least are problematic because they don't want to vote for something without something? I mean, you know, it can go both ways. It can be that they're not Republican enough or that they're kind of too Republican, right?
Sure. Well, and correct. And then we also, Doug LaMaffa, who is an amazing member, a really nice, down-to-earth Republican out of California, died 2 weeks ago, just all of a sudden. So, I mean, we'll have a difficult time bringing some things in for a landing. It's going to be hard to move just everything we want forward, just because, you know, we won't get the votes. You've got a handful of Republicans in the Northeast, like typically the ones that are the Salt Caucus.
Yeah.
They're just in more of a deep purple seat. There's certain ones in Pennsylvania. And those are going to be the ones that, you know, they're not going to want controversial votes, so they'll err on the side of caution. It's going to make it tough, guys.
Isn't it fascinating, the salt thing, because you have these fairly well-to-do Republicans in high-tax liberal areas that have long enjoyed the benefit of not having to pay their fair share of federal taxes because of the salt deduction. And all of a sudden, they're Republicans, except for when it comes to, you know, their own willingness to have the rules apply equally to everybody. So it's which of course puts their elected officials in jeopardy as well. You and I have talked about this before. you'll appreciate this, Jimmy. Andrew doesn't like country music. Well, bless his heart. Thank goodness that Jesus forgives all mistakes. That's great.
I'm still like totally distracted having a conversation with you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to throw you off. Okay, so midterm elections are coming. Of course, you're up, and everybody in the House is up for about third of the Senate's up. One of the things that I have been reading a bunch about over the last week or two is the shooting in Minnesota produced responses from President Trump, from Kristi Noem, from Kash Patel, that were absolutely tone deaf and wrong on the Second Amendment and the right to carry. And gun organizations and pro-gun activists have really been frustrated about this. And the concern they have is that the people for whom the Second Amendment is held almost like a religious view are noticing and they're furious. And there's no amount of backtracking at this point that might really work. And if they stay home in November in close districts, maybe a couple of a percent difference puts even more Democrats, which loses us the House, I mean, I see that as a real concern. It's not that they're going to vote Democrat, but if they just don't show up to vote for the Republicans, that's a problem. Are you hearing this, paying attention to this? What do you I mean, I know we're a ways out from the election, but, you know, gun people don't forget real quick.
No, and I hope people just know that the president, look, he means well. There's a lot of things he says when tempers and tensions flare. This is no different. This is the most pro Second Amendment president we've had. I mean, I would argue since Reagan. You know, I don't think that his words were meant to infringe on anybody's concerns about constitutional carry or carrying their firearms or using their firearms. But, you know, it's obvious, you know, the instance what happened in Minnesota with this fella were inflamed. He was loaded for bear, and he was, you know, taking, a significant amount of ammunition and firearms right into an agitation situation with law enforcement. I mean, so, you know, would the circumstances be different if he wasn't carrying his firearm? We'll never know. But I think this was just what the president was trying to do unilaterally, to take the temperature down. So.
Well, and by the way, first of all, I disagree that he was sort of loaded for bear. I mean, he carried two magazines. I carry two magazines all the time. That's just a normal, you know, personal carry. But I do agree with you. What's that?
Thank you.
Your son. Okay. No, but I do agree with you. Trump has been very, very pro-gun generally. I think some people have a distaste for the bump stock stuff, but of course he's gotten rid of the $200 tax on suppressors, which they're flying off the shelves right now exactly because of that. One of the things I was thinking about this the other day, Trump is, he doesn't speak the language of ideology. He's not ideological. He's pure pragmatism. And so go ahead.
No, you know, he is, and it's like, you know, there are bills being filed like right now in the Florida legislature. I think Toby Oberdorf is running a bill to fix, you know, so bump stocks are legal again. So there's a number of things out there that are still being done at the state level to go out there and make sure that the those that are pro Second Amendment or passionate about guns rights and firearms rights are still having a seat at the table. So, you know, this is, again, I think this is a spike in the GOAT and the president's word usage simply because of the circumstances of the day.
I think what it does, it's kind of like when he made the comments about DeSantis and abortion, you know, that, wow, that's too low of a threshold or too high of a threshold, however you want to view it. It's for people who are ideologically committed, he does not speak that language, and so he doesn't know when he missteps on those things. It's just that usually when it comes to policy, it shakes out the right way. But I agree with you that, you know, we tend to sometimes almost care too much about what President Trump says instead of watching more what actually gets done, which is, you know, obviously much better.
1,000%. I mean, you nailed it on the head. I mean, remember, this guy's in the hospitality business. He might as well be a manager of a restaurant trying to make customers happy. You know, sometimes you're just going to say whatever you need to say to take the temperature down. But ultimately, you're going to make sure that everybody else in the room is still having a good time and they come back and eat. You got to make a living. This is no different. I mean, he's just trying to take the temperature down in set circumstances. And next week, he'll do something very pro-gun that'll be over the top. That'll, you know, make, you know, the pro-Second Amendment folks, you know, rabid with jubilation at the expense of those that, you know, hate firearms.
I'm gonna ask you kind of an odd question, but I kind of want to hear your thoughts about it. Obamacare or the marketplace has income-based subsidies, which are changing, right? I mean, that's part of the screaming that's been the government shutdown one, and has not really been resolved in this one, except that they're not going to exist, and so some people are gonna not be able to afford Obamacare that thought they were going to. But why do we have income-based subsidies for Obamacare and not income-based subsidies for employer-based health insurance?
I think we should have income base across the board for any type of benefit of any federal tax dollar that's going to be in any program. I obsess over the amount of money that we spend, whether it be at a state level or at a federal level, that comes back to the states with almost zero checks and balances that becomes fungible because we don't have the ability to ensure every one of those dollars is being used for its intended program use.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could take that question and apply it across the board to so many, you know, expenditures that we do every day. I mean, because it's all taxpayers' money. This is money that that you could be using for your own purposes. You know, but the federal government has an insatiable, you know, appetite for spending money.
Yeah, you and I actually had a really interesting conversation a couple of weeks ago when we were just chatting before the interview. We never did manage to talk about it on the air, but as the former CFO of the state of Florida, you have some really interesting ideas, I thought, about how federal funding should work in terms of, you know, siloed money or, you know, earmarked money in a good way, sunset provisions, all of that, clawbacks. Can you maybe just, I don't know, spend a minute or two and talk about that? I don't know that you're necessarily in a position to get it all done, but I thought it was a really interesting perspective, again, as a former CFO.
Well, I mean, I just kind of think we should really revisit what the true purpose of state tax dollars are and federal tax dollars. And with federal, you know, I can drill down into those particular. I mean, I feel like, you know, absolutely federal government dollars should be used in ensuring our, you know, our military, you know, our Medicare, our safety net is in place. But sometimes you get states that will, you know, have a program that is developed by the federal government, and then it'll get an expansion to it. And then, unfortunately, you take place of what happened in COVID, massive expansion, all these programs. None of them will reel back in now that we're in a post-COVID era, because, you know, it seems like nobody has the stomach to want to try to bring these programs back to where it's a reasonable set of benefits to allow somebody to enjoy, you know, or get the stability to move their life forward. But then when you see what's happened in Minnesota and billions of dollars that have been spent unaccounted for, my attitude is, wait, stop sending. When you've got a flare like that, the federal government should have the ability to stop sending money and enforce those members of Congress there. But such a great program, let them go file a direct appropriation saying, you know what, this is our program, this is our encounter data, this is the good we did with it, can we please have this money? And then let the members of Congress vote up and down on it. I'm sorry, I hate the way we spend money in Washington, because this is something we're leaving to our kids. It's this massive amounts of debt.
You know, the original idea, as I understand it from the founders, was that, you know, one person would come forward with a spending request and 400 people would vote him down, or 200 or whatever at the time. And then somebody else would come forward with a spending request to take money and do something, and the other 200 would vote them down. And it would just, everybody would collectively vote no so often that nothing would get passed and spending would stay in control. Whereas now it's all, I'll vote yes if you vote yes, if he votes yes, if she votes yes. And so all these things get passed. I'm with you. I mean, each funding bill could be targeted, specific, with metrics, with sunset provisions, with a yes, up or down vote on this particular one. And then let's do the next one. Let's do the next one instead of these massive, multi-pronged spending approaches that, you know, everybody feels they have to vote yay or nay on. And then they get politically attacked for voting no on something that was tucked into a bunch of other. You know, just it's crazy the way we do it.
Well, and we tried. Look, we did 12 individual budgeted bills. We did exactly what we're supposed to do. Then we came back, as opposed to doing a massive CR or one big massive, we did what are called, instead of omnibuses, we did what mini buses. There were, you know, like three appropriations bills together. And we're getting to a better place. It's just mean that much harder now because of our voting situation.
Most definitely. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for District 1. Safe travel, say. Hope your airline travel is not impeded or not impeded very much. You get up there safely and, you know, don't get too taken advantage of by it and all the weather and the D.C. of it all. You know, you have to clean yourself off a little bit when you come home. Jimmy, thank you as always for the time. Go ahead.
I will remind people, if you haven't made a trip to D.C., you need to make it. You need to let our office know. You need to let us show you a good time. Washington, D.C. is still one of the most incredible, magnificent cities in this whole entire world, and you deserve to come and see your city.
Oh, it is. I totally agree with you. And when, you know, Trump gets done building the arch, I think it'll be, or the arc, it'll be even that much better. I completely agree. Everybody ought to go to D.C. at least once in their adult lives so they can experience it. Jimmy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Thanks, buddy.
It'll be the Ark of the Trumpinant. No,
the Trumpinant,
the Arc de Triomphe. I don't know. Some there's got to be a.
He's going to make something up like
there's
that.
There's got to be something in there. Yeah. All right. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Look, there is no right and wrong. There's only fun and boring.
Good morning, 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and let's see. Good to have you back, John, by the way. Hope you had a good vacation.
Thank you. Oh, yes. It was awesome.
All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The House Rules Committee paving the way for a vote today on potentially ending the partial government shutdown. Monday night, the committee moved forward with a funding package approved last week by the Senate that would fund the government and extend funding for the Department of Homeland Security for 2 weeks. It's designed to give Democrats time to negotiate immigration enforcement reforms. After nearly 7 years, the Kelly Clarkson show is coming to an end. She announced Monday that this season will be her last. Clarkson wrote on Instagram that stepping away from that show will allow her to prioritize her kids.
Okay.
And
have you ever watched the show?
Well, we're forced to watch it over in the other studio.
Well, you see it, sort of.
Yeah.
But do you watch it?
No.
Yeah, I got zero iterations for me, too. Go ahead, David.
Nothing
against
three.
Her. I mean, I've seen seconds here, seconds there, flipping through channels, whatever. But, anyway, it's just not my bag, baby.
And San Francisco is poised to see some big economic windfall from the Super Bowl over the weekend, with the game taking place at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. The Bay Area is projecting that the Super Bowl this year will have a $370 to $640 million economic impact.
There you go. All right. Very good. Yeah. Gynocentric daytime talk shows are not my thing.
I pictured you as a guy. That someone's after you took your nap.
What does gyno mean? Look it up. Anyway, if you're not sure. Androcentric would be, not Andrew-centric, although that too, but androcentric. Okay, I'm just going to move on from the Greek lesson. Let's see. What else do we have going on? Jim Beam is not going to make any bourbon at its distillery in 2026. Its main distillery. Yeah. They're shutting down due to low demand, tariffs, reduce Canadian consumption because we're not exporting very much to Canada anymore. And this is across the board for your distilleries and, manufacturers of spirits. They say that the $9 billion whiskey industry in particular, tariffs are killing them right now, that consumption and also consumption is down.
Local
among young
talk
adults.
In the morning, 5 to